Serious Rapshit is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
Me and my friend take this rapshit seriously.
Yo. Back in the building, in a new building.
In a whole new building.
We ain't in my living room right now. Episode 119, Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, your host.
And yeah, we are rocking live from the Fashion District in Philadelphia.
It's my fucking gallery, dog.
It's the gallery. Niggas don't know. This used to be the hood-ass mall back in the day in Center City, Philadelphia. But, you know, they did some renovations. They rebranded as the Fashion District. And we are here recording this brand-new fucking episode.
Yes, brand-new spot. You know, it's cozy. It's nice and cozy in here. Got, like, a bank vault.
Dog,
get in this joint.
Real shit, when we came in here, I had to flash a card like Nino Brown getting into Carter. Or fucking New Jack City.
You got to keep it official, like you want to do it that way. You know, you don't want no scumbags.
The riffraff, dog. As I get older, the more not fearful.
Yeah.
I'm scared of these niggas out here, but the more reserved I am towards like a riffraff. Yeah. Element, like me and Lissa will go out to dinner and like it'll be like a rabba 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 with it. I'm like, oh, so I start like clutching my pearls.
Excuse me.
Y'all niggas relax.
Like, do you realize this is a wine list here? We don't do this shit. This is a wine list in here.
Y'all niggas don't come in no place that got a wine list and start acting up.
No.
We ain't with that.
No.
We went to some spot in Chinatown.
I'm a refined gentleman.
Absolutely. We went to the spot in Chinatown, and apparently they have the best chicken in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. I don't know the name of this place. But Liz said niggas be like rumbling in there. I'm like, y'all rumbling over over Chinatown chicken? Like, I love Chinatown. No disrespect. But like,
you're not rumbling. Popeyes.
Come on. You're not rumbling over like Popeyes.
Say the Popeyes chicken sandwich.
You rumbling over Chinatown chicken? Make it make sense.
Oh.
This is before we get, you know, too crazy and off track.
Yeah.
This is a very special fucking episode.
Yes, this is a special episode. Special delivery for y'all.
I'm super excited. We got my man 50 grand in the house. Reef the Lost Cause.
Only 50 grand? That's 100 grand for me. So
You're a better friend to Reef than I am. Thank you, Josh. Fucking embarrass me when we got a guest in the house. What's going on, Reef?
What's up, fellas? How y'all feeling?
What's going on?
Chilling, man.
I'm beautiful, man.
Good, man. Before we go into it, I just want to say, like, the whole city, especially myself, I'm so proud of y'all, man. Like, the progress y'all have made. With this podcast is my favorite podcast, and I've got like five of them myself.
You have multiple podcasts.
This is like so beautiful to see what y'all doing, and I hope y'all continue to just grow and have success, man. It's just been beautiful to watch. I'm very inspiring, and that's all. I want to say that before we start talking shit. Now, who stands with the prince?
Niggas don't know about Dr.
They don't know about that Dr. Umar.
I'll go on my phone and call from my hotel.
I seen a nigga tweet. He said, what on the. It was the night before Kwanzaa.
He did not say that.
Dr. Umar was
stirring
about.
He was giving out the Kwanzaa carols, yeah, man. Like,
Goddamn.
Kwanzaa carols.
Yeah, we're gonna chat a little bit, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I know you've been interviewed a million fucking times.
Yeah,
you know
this is
saying?
Different though, because this is like home. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, this is home.
Man. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm some nerd with a clipboard. You know what I mean?
Absolutely,
straight up.
Yeah, we actually know hip hop here.
You get like.
I get the stock questions, man, or like, you know, people that like, you know, they clearly don't they don't know anything about me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I always hit that wiki real quick.
Exactly. I always welcome it though, because anybody wants to talk to me. You know what I mean?
West Philly,
West Philly,
right. Born and raised.
huh?
Nudge.
Let me ask you, on the playground,
right?
Is that where you spent most of your days?
Yeah.
Did you know Will Smith?
No, that's actually cool. Like, when I travel, that's something like people ask. Like, they think like, did you know? Do you know Meek? Do you know?
Yeah, yeah, it's like you, Meek.
I mean, like they have a different,
Jazzy Jeff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The Butler Jeffrey. y'all are all homies.
Did you know Jeffrey?
God damn, I have been a fan of your music.
Thank you.
For a long fucking time. It's crazy too because you know how you go on like your Facebook memories and shit, and you see all.
I saw that today.
You know what I'm saying? It was a joint with you freestyling at the Batcave, and a cat. Shout out to.
I think you sent this to me too when it, when you posted it. I think you sent it to.
Yeah, because that shit. I had heard you rhyme before. He was rhyming in that motherfucker. The cat that filmed it, my man Bernard, I went to high school with.
We went to high school. I went to high school with him too.
You kind of hear him.
We were there together.
He was barely there, you know what I mean?
Bro, we're not going to get into that. We cut plenty of days together. Listen, my mom don't, I mean, even my mom, listen, she knows, she caught me leaving that school on many occasions. Man, so.
my crib was the cut house.
Really? Oh, bro.
I started off at Brook. I got all my cousins were there, so my mom was like, "Oh hell no!" Like,
I was getting
in trouble, so she put me in Lamberton, which was like 2 blocks from our crib. Lamberton was like, if you didn't go to Brook, you went to Lamberton,
okay,
West Philly, and my house was literally 2 blocks away. So when we would cut, we'd go to my mom worked. My sister, it was just me, and my mom, and my sister. My mom worked, you know, like all the rest of ours.
Yeah, yeah.
6-7 o'clock at night,
right.
And I remember one time she came home early for something, caught us in there. You know what I mean? I'm in the joint making oodles and noodles. It smelled like trees. You know what I mean? She flipped out, bro.
Oh, man.
Not too much, man. So it was cool. Yeah.
Yo, I hated having, like, I didn't.
You didn't like people coming over?
No, because y'all going to bounce, and my shit going to look fucked up.
Right,
and
right,
now
right,
I got to
right.
clean, yeah, and, like, yeah. everything has to be exactly how it was before she left.
The funniest was when the niggas that would, like, try to have, like, yo, can I go to your crib? This man, I'm like, nigga, you think my joint a hotel?
Yeah,
like,
exactly,
yo,
right.
Like, I know you gonna go to class, but you, is it cool we go to smoke this L? You? I'm like, no, I don't know, I gotta be there. You
right,
know what I mean?
No one is in my crib without me. No,
yeah.
My man, shout out to my man Maul. He used to live a few blocks from where I grew up, and his crib was the cut house.
Yeah,
but Maul, when we were like 15, 16. Maul was like 19.
Okay.
And he had his own spot.
Nice.
He smoked.
Yeah.
He was into like hip hop and shit. He used to cut hair. So niggas would just be like just hanging out.
It was the best, right?
At his crib. It was so fucking fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like me and John, like at our school, we were a centralized school, so everybody had to like go there.
Mm-hmm.
No one lived right near
there. No one lived there, yeah.
Right. So it was just saying
none of us could just like go to somebody's crib and chill.
Right.
We would just like walk up Cotman Avenue rhyming and then like going in the store stealing.
Did y'all have did y'all have like truant officers and all that around there?
No, not really.
We had a bunch and it was the saddest shit because I'm like, bro, like you couldn't become like a real cop.
Yeah, no.
You the cop of little kids.
Yeah, like, your job is to chase us and take us back to school.
Yeah, like where does that rank on like security guard, truant officer,
right?
CO, is it real police?
Yeah, it's like that. All security, Securitas,
right?
It's like truant officer.
Yeah, and then even on like mall security, there's the dude who has like the car who drives around the parking lot.
Yeah,
then there's the dude who actually rides the Segway in the mall.
Segway.
I remember I was cutting school and this guy, he was like, he had to be like 30.
Mm.
He's a black dude, big tall dude.
Oh, he gave you the talking to?
Yo, he ran down on me, dog. And he was like, what you doing, man? Why you ain't in school? I'm a truant officer. You gonna get in trouble? Your parents gonna get in trouble. So I'm looking at this dude. I'm like,
wait, he was like off duty and did this?
Right. But I'm a child, so I'm not really paying attention, but I'm looking at this dude. I'm like, this motherfucker can't chase me down. You know, that was, you know, 15, I was probably in my prime of
even
with the trees on, I'm looking like, man, this nigga can't run me down.
Nah.
And I'm looking at him, I'm about to break on him. He like, nah, young boy, I'm playing. I ain't no truant officer. You just walk around like harassing kids.
Yeah. You like, woke for up, no like, fucking reason. Hey, man, I'm going to get a bunch of them today, man.
Right.
I'm going to get them good today.
Fucking weirdo, yo. I wanted to start off and just, you know, typical like biographical. Shit. You mentioned you're from West Philly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm real curious about like the music shit and like the rhyming shit. Like what made you kind of start with this craft of being an MC?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think any kid that grew up like we did in the city in the, you know, late 80s, early 90s. It was everywhere. And, you know, I had uncles that rhymed, cousins that rhymed. They did graffiti. And I fell in love with the culture very early. I can specifically remember, you know, coming to my grandmother's house and going to my uncle. You know, he had the basement and they was in there, you know, Wild Style. They had this one movie that they would always watch. It was some Spanish boy that had a mountain of coke on his desk and, like, you know what I mean? Kept shooting guns. And I was like, what is this movie? Yeah, this movie's right. great. Why y'all always watching it?
Yeah, it's so fun.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And, just yeah, man, from end. There, like, and I was always, my mom was an activist. She was also very into the arts. She always pushed the arts on me, whether it was, you know, I attended Freedom Theater, doing acting, creative writing, all that stuff. So the combination of the stage, the love of the stage, the love of writing, and the love of the culture, it just culminated into, you know, by the time I was 7 or 8, 9, I was like, I want to be doing music or acting or, you know, something in the arts. But my love for hip hop and music was just like, it just drove me, man. And it was something that, like, I wasn't the most athletic boy. I wasn't the GQ smooth boy. You know, a lot of my homies had Fresh Low and but the rhyming was what, that was my thing. You know, when you're searching for your thing, the thing that's going to make you cool, or that's who you went to. If you wanted to hear some bars, you would come to Reef. And that started in 7th, 8th grade. And I'm like, man, this is something that could really, like, you know, make me cool and get me attention. And and that really pushed me to keep going because I like the attention from it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I love the craft and all, but when you are young and insecure and trying to figure out what it is that's going to separate you and you see that reaction from people, that's what really, like, motivated me to try it, like, for real. You know what I mean? And I never looked back.
I appreciate you saying that because a lot of times that dimension of it that you mentioned, like, being young, insecure, trying to find your footing in the world or a way to express yourself in the world, that isn't really spoken of, you know what I mean, on an in-depth level. But that's the case with a lot of young people.
Yes.
Trying to find identity, trying to find a way to have a voice.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's important.
Absolutely. And also, I mean, you know, we all run around the same age, so we all came up where it's different now. Like, there was a time where it was a few of us that rhymed. It was just a small
you
select.
You knew. Yeah. You knew who it was.
I mean, you had your homies that would get in, you know what I mean? Shout out my man Anwar and them that would, like, just joke around trying to have fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it was a few of us that was, like, you know, assassins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and, like, I don't mean to cut you off.
No, please.
But, like, me and John.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Hey, I'm official now, baby. Yes.
Like, there was a crew of us when we were in high school, like me and John, my man Note, Steve.
Shout out Steve.
Just, Herm, like all of us. Mm-hmm. And, like, literally, you'd come to lunch, we'd cut glass and go to lunch and hang out in the lunchroom. And whoever wrote that, you know, would write, sit there, read your rhyme for the day. So, like, the rest of us would go to class next period and spend that whole class period writing a new rhyme.
Then bring back to the next
lunch period to be like, yo, listen to this.
Yeah,
like,
man. Yeah. Like, I mean, it literally, like, it saved my life. And I know a lot of it's like a cliche thing. Hip hop saved my life. But it literally, like, kept me, like, there were nights where I might have been out doing some other stuff, but I was in the staircases or at my cousin's house and we was blazing, listening to the latest, you know, raucous 12-inch B-side with the instrumental on it, getting it in, rhyming, sitting Indian style.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, like, that was, I look back now, that was, like, school for me. That was training for me. And it also kept me away from a lot of bullshit. You know what I mean? Because, like, I tried to be that guy, and it wasn't who I was.
No, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? That's not who I was. I have friends that were, you know, we're getting into the teen years now, but you have friends dying, getting locked up. And,
absolutely.
You know, you see people out here, like, you know, the effects that drugs would do to people, and, like, it just wasn't who I was. So I was the guy that would, like, I'd take notes on it and spit back to them what we were seeing. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's a direction you can get from having that creative outlet.
Right.
That, like, some dudes who don't have it, hey, man, there's a lot of energy. Yeah. You got to get that energy somewhere. Yeah.
It's crazy, man. Like, as I'm, and I don't want to get ahead of my life, so to speak, but like, as I'm working with a lot of kids lately, the one thing that I'm noticing that might have saved me, and I'm sure y'all can relate to, is, yo, love, man. We had parents that, my mom loved her kids.
Mm-hmm.
She did everything. We grew up in a house that we didn't have a lot, but there was love. There was like the idea that you don't have to just be this.
Yeah.
And a lot of my homies looking back, I wonder, like, why do they act like they just don't give a fuck about nothing? It's like, because nobody was around to say that you should give a fuck about something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that that played such a major part in shaping me. It's not just my mom, but my grandparents, my cousins. There was a community around us a little bit. You know what I mean? I think that that can really change and shape who you are as a person as you grow, you know?
This, you talk about like teaching kids. Mm-hmm. This past summer, I taught at the Village of Arts and Humanities. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't been in a school since I was a child. But seeing the amount of care and, like you said, love and community that the staff, from like the teachers, administration, everybody in the neighborhood put, you know, like kind of covered those kids in like love and appreciation and being like, yo, you can do it. You know what I mean? Right. You smart, you talented, you dope. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That kind of shit, it really blew me away. I kind of knew it was going to be that. Mm-hmm. I knew a bunch of those folks that work there, folks that are teaching artists there, and I know how they move in the world. Right. So I you know, kind of understood what it was going to be. But being there on the day-to-day and seeing it and seeing how these kids, you know, they're not going somewhere that's, you know, you have administration that's afraid of them or talking to them like they criminals and shit. They talking to you like, no, you're smart and you're dope and you're the shit.
Right.
And, you know, whatever hood you might be in now, you won't get out of that shit because you're fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
That shit is like essential.
Yeah.
No, listen, you know? our homie just worked in like in-house suspension shit. Like that's what he did for a while. Mm-hmm. And like,
how about that?
He hated the environment because it was like, yo, we have to treat all these kids like criminals.
Right.
Like, he essentially said it was like walking into prison every day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, like, that's how the staff treated it. Mm-hmm. That's how school security treated it. And, like, he was like, dude, he's seen kids get gripped up and slammed on the floor. See, and he's like, yo, I don't want to operate this way. Right. He felt terrible every day going there.
Right.
Like, it was legit a problem every day. Yeah. And he didn't want to continue to do that. Right. And, like, it's really important. For us to like push these kids up, amp these kids up, show them that somebody's there to talk to.
Right.
Like, I've spent 12, 13 years working with kids, coaching. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, when you're a coach, you're more than that. You're a mentor if you're really
you're a
doing
father
this.
Figure. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like,
what's going on?
Yeah.
Right
like,
at home.
You know, these kids come to practice and like, I've had kids who were, you know, one kid I had was living in a crib that was condemned.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
There's a young boy that comes through to one of the programs that I teach that he clearly doesn't have water at home because he just stinks.
Like, yeah, yeah.
And I'm not saying that to put him.
No, not at all.
But it's like clear, like somebody's not. He's not able to wash. You know what I'm saying? And like, I want to be like, yo, come to my crib and take a shower, bro. But like, you can't say that to a child. That's
no, exactly.
Right.
No, that's not the lady you want to go to.
Yo, man, come to my house and take a shower, man. I love you, bro.
Yeah, no. that would get you on a whole other bunch of lists.
right.
Like
not
that would
say
put
that.
You.
Don't do that, John. All right,
nah.
No, don't do it.
Like you said, dude, it's so important for us to be there to like talk to these kids, and like that's something my mom was worried about me coming up in the sense of like, where are you going?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Because you're definitely not going to college.
Right.
Oh, so you mean like your direction?
Yeah. She was definitely on a path of just like, yo, she'll support whatever I do. Mm. She wanted me to, when I was in like, I don't know, 10th or 11th, whatever grade, like, you know, grades were kind of amorphous as I failed many classes and passed a couple. So like, you know
school
what I mean?
School was bullshit. I think we can all agree that school was just nonsense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She wanted me, took me to Rough House Studios to get a engineering class. Mm-hmm. And me just being like, you know, a rebel without a cause. It was like, I'm not doing this. What am I doing this for? I want to rhyme. I don't fuck. I want to record somebody.
Right.
Not no engineer.
Like now, I think back, like, oh fuck, man, I should have did that. Like, you know what I mean?
But
like,
I wish you had done that so you can edit some.
Well, there's a reason why things happen in life.
Right. Yeah, I had that same. Like, she made me fill out the application for University of Arts. Mm-hmm. To do the writing program, and it would end up being the best thing that could have ever happened for me, because if I'd have never left the neighborhood, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
I had 90% of the contacts that I made through music were in the city.
Okay.
You know what I mean? West Philly is like, I was West. Like, West Philly now, like, you know, Cedar Park where you were at, like mm-hmm. 40s and all that, UPenn. There's an environment there where yes. stuff is happening. There's art. There's culture.
Right.
The 60s and up, it's just the hood. There's nothing going on. Mm-hmm. There's no opportunity. There's nothing really to do.
Nah.
So I would have probably been up there, and I don't say this to discredit any of my homies, but a lot of them are still just, you know, they never left. They never tried. They never experienced anything else. So her pushing me out and not giving me the option to fall back was like, it saved my life.
You know definitely.
I mean?
Wow. Yeah. I don't mean to cut short, but let's go to break. We'll come right back. We'll dig a little bit into like your career,
okay.
music that you've made, and, you know, see where the conversation takes us. So, yeah, we'll be right back. And we're back. So, Reef, I wanted to just get you talking a mm-hmm. little bit about, you know, your career, music mm-hmm. that you've made, all mm-hmm. of that. How did you make this the leap from, okay, I'm rhyming, I'm assuming mm-hmm. you were out in the street like ciphering, mm-hmm. you battling and all mm-hmm. of that. When did you start like actually making records? Mm-hmm. How did that happen?
So I had, you know, dibbled and dabbled with friends here and there. You know, I was in a group when I was like 17 with a few of my other homies, and you know, we recorded some stuff. It was pretty terrible because I hadn't found my voice yet, and I was still playing that role. And we talking 97, 98.
Right.
So, you know, it was straight. Like, I was talking about how I'm flipping bricks and all this goofy absolutely. Shit. You know what I'm saying? I was getting money when I was not doing any of that. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I definitely had a bus pass.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I was killing mad niggas. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And my cousin actually came to me because his next door neighbor, a guy named Eric Coleman, producer named Sleep E, he had the setup. He had the crib with the studio. Yeah. And, you know, nowadays kids can open a laptop, prop open a mic, and you get it in. To have someone that had an actual home studio with mm-hmm. the equipment, turntables, a mic, the whole nine was, like, unheard of.
Yeah.
But he was like, yo, he had been telling him for years, like, yo, man, you need to, like, work with my cousin. You need to, like, you know what I mean? And he never really took him serious. And I think as I got older and got better, he was like, yo, like, let's give it a shot. So around the year 2000, 2001, we recorded like two or three songs that turned into four or five songs, turned into six, seven songs. And that turned into an album called The High Life, which was essentially my demo. Right. He produced everything. And at that same time, as we're doing this record, I was dating a girl whose boyfriend was this brother named Scandal, who was a part of a crew called 40th Dimension. They were underground guys in the city, part of a funny Arrakis crew, you know what I'm saying? KRU, these were guys that were doing shows at Silk City, Lataza, mm-hmm. Black House, Fake House, I can't remember.
Fake House,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All them joints.
Rest
in
peace, Fake House.
Rest in peace, they
Lataza.
All pretty much gone, you know what I'm saying? Silk is totally different now, but although, it's not a dust head vent, you know what I mean?
Right.
But as I was finishing this music, I link with Scandal. We would cipher all the time. And he's like, yo, man, you need to come through. We do shows at this spot called Lataza. And February 2nd, 2002, I'll never forget the date, I did my first show at Lataza. We tore that motherfucker down.
Goddamn.
And you know, this is when Damon Williams was writing for the mm-hmm. Philadelphia Daily News.
Yeah, yeah.
Linked up with him. And it just started to slowly, like we were talking about earlier, you just get pushed.
Yeah.
You just go with the wave, man. You just ride along with it. And that's how it all started. And, you know, I would be lying if I could tell you how everything else kind of, it just, someone would be there to say, hey, you want to come do this show? A rapper that had connects or had respect in the city, a Chief Kamachi, a Vinny Paz,
shout
would
out
say,
Kamachi.
Yo, I fuck with you. Come get on this record.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A guy like Ari the Rugged Man would say, yo, I'm going over Europe. I want you and C-Ray's Walls to be my openers. And it just would just, you know, and it's been like that for a long time. I attribute it to my music. I attribute it to faith, all that other stuff, but also attribute it to the fact that, like, I ain't on no rapper shit, man. I'm not no dickhead asshole diva. Everyone that met me from then till now will tell you it was love. It was handshakes. It was hugs. It was, yo, thank you for coming to my show. Thank you for showing me love. Mm-hmm. Thank you for letting me get on your record. And I think that reputation travels a long way. It travels further, for me at least, than any music you can make. It's all about how you treat people, how you approach the stage. We took the shows serious. We tried to rip it down, no matter if it was 30 people or 300. We didn't care. We always came with respect and love for the craft, and that has carried me and sustained me for damn near 20 years.
I think that's the most important thing you have to do
especially as you get older, it's really better. It's so important to recognize that shit because, like, that shit will open a door for you when every other door is closing. If you've treated people properly and you showed respect and you showed love, that's what opened a door sometimes when every other door around you is closed.
Yeah,
And it's really, I think it's so important for us to, like, impress upon that on younger folks. Like, yo, you have to, like, don't take shit for granted. You know what I mean? If someone looked out for you or someone showed you love, you got to, like, reciprocate
forward,
that.
All of that.
Yeah,
forward,
like,
man. I'll say this. I'm not a rich person by any metric. I quit my 9-to-5 in 2015, 16?
Something like that,
2016. Every single, my fridge is full right now at the crib. Every single, you know, meal I've eaten since then, every single Uber to somewhere or a gift that I bought somebody else, a piece of clothing that I put on my back has been based on a relationship with another human being. You know what I mean? I try to treat people well, try to leave a good impression, not on no, like, you know, like networking, like, hey, my guy, you know, like, like, just be like a genuine human.
Right.
And people, every single week, people hit me with new opportunities. Everybody I write for, somebody else referred me everywhere that I DJ, or if I go to a school and teach, or if I go, you know, I was teaching at the fucking library, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Playing rap records and going through the history of this shit. You know what I mean? That was based on me working with somebody else and making them feel good and them being like, yo, get him to do this.
Yeah.
So I literally wouldn't be surviving or I'd be working somewhere and wanting to, like, shoot myself in the face. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I would be able to survive and have, like, a nice, you know, comfortable life that I like if it weren't for that.
Right. I think it's about two things. It's about the work and it's about the people.
Yeah.
And if you treat both with respect and kindness, it'll be returned to you tenfold.
Yeah.
Like, you said earlier, we're not rich. We're not, like, a lot of people say to me, like, oh, man, you should be, like, here, here, then. I'm like, should I?
Right.
Really? Because I think I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think my life is exactly where it should be because, like you said before, networking, playing the game, that's stuff that, like, if you're not really that type of person to do the song and dance, like, we real niggas. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just keep it a bean. Like, we ain't doing all that. And I feel like that's the type of stuff. There's certain things you have to do to get to certain levels. And for me, it's always been about, am I really going to be comfortable doing this if it's not genuine? And I haven't come across a situation yet that made me say, man, I'm going to sell my ass this one time. It just hasn't happened yet. And I think that we define success as this, you know, obviously everybody in the back of their mind, they want the, you know, sold out arenas and the mansions and all that other stuff. But like you said, if your fridge is full, your lights are on, your babies are clean and healthy and happy, like, you are the richest man in the universe.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think it comes a lot to, like, what you accept as a level of success.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
I think if you want, like, sold out stadium tours, fam, you're never going to be happy with, like, what you get in life,
because
you're always chasing something
the
else.
Next thing,
and it's cool to, like, want more,
right?
But at the same time, you have to be gracious for what you have.
You have to be, so, because it could be taken away.
Absolutely,
you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It could be taken away just like that, man.
Yeah.
And one thing I learned navigating the rap, I hate even saying industry, but just one thing I've learned as I've moved on here is that I've met people that are more successful than me, and they want to be more successful than they are. And I'm like, but I would like to be where you're at, because I think where you're at is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're like, but I should be here. And that, I'm sure there are people that, you know, that where they want to be, they want to be there. Like, they're looking at Jay, or they're looking at, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's always this chase of, like, and if you don't have just, like, comfort and happiness in your own self, you're never going
to
be happy.
Yeah, I remember talking to somebody before, and it was definitely like, yo, there's only one Drake, there's only one Jay, there's only like, there's only enough room for one of those type of people.
He said it himself in an interview, Drake. He was like, man, somebody up there likes me, because this shit make no sense.
Honestly,
nigga was on MySpeace.
Yo, he was like, you know what I mean? Like, and, like, a child actor from Canada, like,
exactly,
is the biggest
thing in the
world.
Is, like, there's only going to be so many of those. Like, we operate in a system where everybody can't be that.
Right.
So you have to, like, you have to accept the fact that, like, yo, I might not be there, but, like, yo, like John said, yo, my fridge is full. Like, you know what I mean? Right. Like, my rent's paid. And I got that from being a creative and being somebody doing what I want. Because you know what? At the end of the day, like, hey, man, I could be working a job I fucking hate.
Yeah. My bank, one of the branches of my bank is in the old building that I used to work at, right there on 106 and Market Street. I used to work at the federal courthouse in the file room. Mm-hmm. Just filing papers, just for y'all. Listen, I ain't no fed and then I ain't no I don't have nothing to do with nothing. I just file papers. You know what I'm saying? Because a couple homies came in here a couple of times. Like, yo, what's up, boy? I'm like, yo. Why you in?
I'm got all your ties.
Like, yo, what's up, man?
Fucking bad, man. Like,
But I wondered. For many, many years, I would go to the bank. The bank's downstairs. My office, where I worked at, was upstairs. I hadn't really gone back in a minute. I was like, yeah, let me go check on these folks, man. See my peoples. It's been a minute. And because I always wondered in the back of my mind, bro, it was a sweet government gig. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about, like, if I'd still been there by now, I'd have been 20 years in.
Yeah.
Pay bumps every, like, 2 years. Mm-hmm. Pension, health insurance. I probably would have been good, you know, 15, 20 years from now, retired with all that. Bro, I went upstairs. And that joint, it felt like I was walking through a haunted house, man. Yeah. And I saw people there that were like, yo, you did the best thing for yourself by leaving. You did the best thing going out and chasing yourself because, you know, to have that security is one thing. But, like, that's the easy shit. You posted something the other day, I think, from Bill Burr that was like.
You'll never regret sleeping on it. Like, everybody doesn't want to sleep on a futon at 30 years old.
Right.
He said, but I'm going to tell you now, you're not going to regret sleeping on that futon at 30 years old. As opposed to being in a marriage that you don't want to be in.
Sleeping in a bed with a woman you don't love, working a job you don't like.
Yeah, like, it's much better to go take that shot.
Right.
Because, hey, man, like, you can always fall off. You can work your regular, listen, man, I just got done working a regular-ass gig that fucked me. I've been at the job 13 years.
Right.
That said, fuck you. Like, you know what I mean?
There's not even no guarantee.
Yeah, there's no guarantee in that.
The safe route is not even guaranteed.
And when you talk to me about quitting your gig, John, like, so you was like, yo, man, I'm thinking about doing this, like, this writing thing and this DJ thing full time. What did I say to you? It's always another bullshit job out there.
Right.
Yeah, you did.
You can quit. You can quit that shit. There's another bullshit job out there to get.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, whatever, man. Like, it's not like it'd be different if you're like, yo, I'm, you know, I'm a fucking professional athlete. Now I want to go be a rapper. Right. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, don't, you know,
some,
like,
of these dudes, like, would make that leap.
Yeah,
if they could.
But, like, don't, like, it's a different level when you're like, yo, I work at some store, like, rigging people up.
Yeah.
And I want to go do this other shit. And you're like, yeah, go do
go
that.
Go do that.
Because, there's going to be a million stores you can go get, be a fucking, you know, a cashier.
If it get too real out there, you mask up and grab the joint. You know what I mean? Go get yours. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You do not advocate violence.
I had a lyric that I still, like, sticks in
our
my head.
Our heart will be like, guys, the.
I don't know about this one.
I had a lyric that I always used to, like, throw, because it was, like, you know, anybody who rhymes would know, you'll write. And then, like, maybe you'll trash that rhyme, but you'll have lines from that rhyme.
Of course.
You're that line was dope.
That was dope.
So I always had a line that I would move around to other rhymes, and it was like, yo, in case I always got a brick on freeze in case I don't move UNITs.
That's real. It can happen.
There's always, but my whole thing is, like, there's always ways to get paid.
Yes.
Right? So I can't operate. Like, dog, I legit was ready to be like, yo, fuck the world. And do it all and end it if I had to stay at my job.
And that's not good, man.
No, you can't live that way.
How do you walk around with that feeling?
Yeah, you know, dog, like, it's like if anybody ever watch Harry Potter and, like, the fucking things that sucked your soul out your face. That's what it was like every day going to that job. Up.
Yeah.
And you don't want to live like that. That shit is miserable.
No.
I wanna Just like swerve a little
bit. We go off tangent.
Absolutely. This is I'm always curious about, like, new people who listen and they're like, if they're like, they're just talking.
That's what makes this podcast the best thing in the world, is because it is just like you sitting with two of your homies while they have a conversation.
Thank you.
I wanted to get kind of an idea of what your day to day is like. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you like? Stuff that you're working on.
Yeah, yeah.
I know you just had a daughter.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Welcome
I
just, to the yeah. the fatherhood of daughter bro, of having
man.
A daughter.
I'm ruined. Oh, dude. Like, if everybody said like, I'm like, y'all capping. I got two boys. I'm already a father.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a different energy.
It's a different
man.
Thing.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like the most. I
listen
not
to the show, man. I know you ain't. You know what I mean?
I'm not an envious person at all, but like I see people with kids, yeah, and I'm yeah. like, fuck, I gotta have a kid. Like yeah, immediately.
Yeah, yeah, but they become 15 year olds.
Take your time, bro.
So trust and believe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, my day to day is depending on what the day of the week is. I wake up in the morning. I get my two boys ready for school. Mm-hmm. If my wife isn't working that day, then I usually am on my way to work. I've been at this place called Shop Vintage Sports for about 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because y'all were having this conversation about the workman's comp and all that. I ain't going to put nobody on blast, but let's just say I'll be leaving there. We're going to be working together on some marketing, online promotions stuff in the future, but I won't be at the shop anymore.
Just gotcha.
You know, we'll talk offline about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I usually go there during the day. And then in the evenings, I teach at a spot called Beyond the Bars, which is a nonprofit for kids that are incarcerated or awaiting trial. They have different versions. There's some one that's actually in the prison, and there's one for the kids awaiting trial. I'm at that one. This is up at Drexel. You know, if I'm not working, I'm working. So if I'm not doing that, then I'm over at my brother Calif Noun's crib, working on music, preparing for a show. I have my podcast, The Philly Blunt, mm-hmm. with my boys Johnny and Greg that we've been trying to make a little bit of moves with there. So it's like there's always, and if I'm not doing that, then I'm at home with my kids, which yeah. is a whole nother job in itself.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
So I essentially have like four or five jobs that I just try to juggle and maintain and do the best of my ability to. And I'm happier than ever now because My when I don't have stuff going on, I lose my mind, bro. Mm. Like when I'm just sitting around twiddling my thumbs, that's when my depression, anxiety all kick into overdrive. I need schedule, I need structure, I need stuff to do constantly. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So right now, Todd and I are working on we put out a project in 2012 called Reef the Lost Cause is Dead. Mm-hmm. Where we flipped a bunch of like rock and indie samples. It was a very popular project. Hey, how you doing? What's up? y'all can't see, but we like in a fishbowl type of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. People looking in.
Yeah. So we dropped that in 2012, and we are going to be doing a follow-up to that. So we're starting to get the ball wow. rolling on that. And I'm also doing a follow-up to the project I did in 2016 with my brother Bear One.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting the ball rolling on that right now. I just have beats all over the place, rhymes all over the place. No actual set dates or anything, but we're going to start recording stuff in the next month or so. And then I'm going to start working on a new like solo record. My last record, The Majestic, which came out at the end of 2018. A lot of people don't realize that was my first record in 10 years. It doesn't sound right because I put out 12 projects between then and now, but they right. were all collaborative projects. I do not consider those solo records.
Gotcha.
My last solo record was an album called A Vicious Cycle, which I dropped in 2008. Since then, I did a project with Bear, with Calif, with Snow Goons, with, you know what I'm saying? My man Dumb High. You know what I mean? It's all those, because they had just as much input as I did. My solo records, that shit is mine.
Yeah,
you know what
right.
I mean? So, yeah, man, just trying to always stay busy, trying to always stay creative. And like I said, like trying to find ways to earn money that won't take me away from home, because the idea right now that I used to live, which was every other month hopping in a van for 30 days Jeez. And just playing whoever would show up, like
yeah.
that shit does not sound appealing to me at all. And it's not right. really something I want as I get older.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to find ways, as we all are, to earn, but doing it the way that I want to in yeah. a creative setting. So Absolutely. that's my day to day, man. I Beautiful. Wake up in the morning, start checking them emails. You know what I'm saying?
Listen.
You know what I mean?
Listen, I know about that life.
You know, I think that's an exciting life, and I think that's a fulfilling life, and it's also, you know, it's important to not get complacent. You know what I mean? So yeah. when you on your heels, on your toes, like, you know, I do think about savings and all that other stuff. But man, look, tomorrow ain't promised. We all gonna be dead in like 10 years anyway. You know what I mean? Let's rock out, bro. Like, you see what's happening
Climate
all over the
change,
planet,
bro.
Man.
Only
like,
longer than 10 years.
It was, it was like 60 degrees last week in January. So
oh, man, Jesus.
So, yeah, man.
Thank you. I want to take a break real quick, okay, and then we'll come right back.
Okay.
And we're back. So we're going to wrap up our conversation with Reef. I appreciate you coming,
Thank
man.
You. Yo, bro, like I said, to be a part of this, I've been wanting to do this for a really long time. And, you know, for those who don't know, my son is the drop.
Yes, the voice the intro.
The intro.
Yes. Shout out Manny.
Shout out Manny. So, like I said, it's genuine. Like, I'm really, y'all are my favorite podcast, excluding my own. Mm-hmm. And I support y'all from forever.
That's love, man. I appreciate
straight
that
up,
shit more
straight
than
up.
You know,
and y'all are going to get everything y'all deserve from this. So
thank
just keep
you, bro.
Doing
we yeah. trying, man. We got yeah. a lot of bad karma that we got to
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sweep
no,
out.
I know.
Yeah, sold, yeah. like, yeah. drugs to pregnant yeah, women. Yeah, yeah. So like, I need to, like, you know,
I'm
going to
edit that out.
I'm in all this shit. I keep telling you got to make that a shirt, too. I will write.
Oh, heaven. I'm going to edit that out. Word. We wanted to talk about you just dropped a joint with Hank McCoy.
Yeah, shout out to Hank.
Yeah, shout out Hank McCoy. You talk a little bit about that record yeah. that came out. And then maybe, you know, mm-hmm. you already talked about some of the stuff that you're working on, but maybe mm-hmm. some of the music you're into now
or
what's been going on.
Yeah, shout out to Hank. He sent me that beat a while ago. We knocked it out pretty quick. I just recorded it at Caliph's. You know, my last record, I did so much like soul searching and pouring my heart out and tears and, you know, life, you know what I mean? I was going to it.
A beautiful record.
Thank
you.
Yeah, exactly.
On that. I'm waiting for my vinyl. I'm going to put it up on the wall.
Yeah, I should drop that the vinyl will be shipping at the end of the month. Shout out to everyone that donated to the Bandcamp vinyl campaign thing that we had going on. But it came out beautiful. I have some copies at the crib. I'm waiting for everybody to get theirs mm-hmm. before I put mine out. We waiting for everybody that ordered to get theirs. So,
yeah.
But yeah, man, like I say that to say that, you know, I dropped Old Boy, which was just me barring it down. This new joint with Hank is me barring it down with like a little bit. I'm just having fun with this shit again, man.
Yeah,
I'm just trying
man.
To rhyme and enjoy it. And I think that has an influence on what I'm seeing in a lot of music. I've been listening to, of course, a lot of rock. Marcy, he's my favorite right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
That's my guy. Obviously, Griselda, Benny, RJ, Payne from Philly.
Yes.
Philly's killing it right now.
I'm trying to interview him this
Yo,
week.
Yo, man, he is like just, and I just love the hustle, bro. Like, he's inspiring because it's like he's dropping a new video like every day, it seems.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Crazy.
So I'm listening to a lot of RJ, Payne. A lot of, I don't want to sound like the old East Coast rap boy, but I've been listening to like that flavor because it's so prevalent right now, and it makes me feel good. And it also gives me hope that like if I see these brothers out here selling that type of music with no filter, you know what I'm saying? The jazzy samples, that's what we came up on.
Yeah,
I love it. And it's doing well for them, so it makes me feel like I don't need to switch it. I never would anyway, but sometimes in the back of your head, like, man, should I try?
But it's like, no.
And obviously,
should I do some double time?
Yeah.
And
you know, I have young children at home, so I'm up on like you know the Roddy Riches and the Drakes and the YBN Young. I'm up on. I might not be able to tell you what they look like. But, yo, I'm of the mind frame, if it's dope, I'll listen to it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I'm not one of these old head boys that are like, oh, you know, the real hip-hop. And I follow a lot of guys that post stuff like that, and I'm like, yo, you're cheating yourself, man.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
You're cheating yourself.
I want to say maybe a year ago I posted this record. It's Migos, Mac Miller, and mm-hmm. Alchemist.
Ooh.
It's called Jabroni. It's
I know
the
that
hardest
yeah,
shit
yeah,
ever.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I posted it, and this guy from like fucking New Zealand.
Of course,
or some
they
shit.
Be the main one.
Fucking white hip hop dude.
Yo.
He jumped in. He's like, "You sharing this bullshit?
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking
you are not representing the real hip hop."
Yeah. And I said to him, "I'm like, fam, you from over there?
Right.
Shout out to you know everybody
right.
over there who
right.
you know supports hip hop culture.
Shout out to MC Kangaroo.
Right.
Come on.
And I mean
MC Wallaby.
We could have a whole nother podcast, and y'all actually did an excellent job on the white supremacy rap.
Thank you.
But we could also do a whole study on the fact that there's these people that never interacted with black youth that are dictating what hip-hop is.
Right.
That bothers me
right.
a lot because hip-hop is black music. It's black youth music if we're keeping it a buck.
Yeah.
They dictate the way it goes.
Yeah.
So if they want to put purple hair, face tats, and rap that double time, that's what the streets dictate. So
yeah.
that's what hip hop is right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's for this generation.
I can't tell my son's 18, about to be 19 years old. I can't tell him what he listens to.
Yeah.
Is it real hip hop?
Right.
Like, that's not how that works.
You
right.
sound like a jackass
yeah.
saying that.
And
so,
who sets the barometer for
right.
that?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Some guy who has never been in any of these communities where it came from. You ain't never been in the Bronx.
Right.
You ain't never been in North Philly.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These communities where this music originated from, this like creative genius that made it, these kids are the same people.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Right. There's, I feel like there's this hierarchy in hip hop where, you know, the old school is like revered. Mm. Those are poor black people that created this music.
Yep.
Just like these new crop of like poor young black people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Let's give them, you know, an equal ear.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. I was interviewing Ishmael Butler, Shabazz Powell's Digable Planets. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about like his record that he was working on at the time. And he was like, yo, I've been listening to Dark Low.
Freedom Men.
ARM. Shout out to my brother who despises the whole OBH. But and he said, and Migos. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, we had the same conversation. Mm-hmm. I was like, I know, you know, you may get like pushback from people who listen to like quote unquote underground hip hop or whatever. And he was like, I don't understand this idea that, you know, millions of black kids, their idea and instinct about what's valid musically is somehow wrong.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, what is that?
Right.
You know what I mean? So yeah, I appreciate you, you know what I mean, having like an open ear. Cause I know motherfuckers in your fan base probably be like,
well, that's the thing
not
about
with
it.
That shit at
no,
all.
Not at all. And it's very frustrating because when I do try to do music that isn't, you know, a slow ass beat with me rapping hard on it, I get like pushback.
Yeah.
I get like, where's that raw? Yeah. Where's the rawness? And it's like, bro, like I'm not this monolith. I'm not this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a man. I like women. I like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like talking about other things than the fact that I'm a dope MC. Like I live a real life.
Yeah.
And
let me breathe a little bit.
And that's why I appreciate, almost envy the guys that are able to do both, that are able to have the full plate
as
spectrum.
Artist, you want to be creative. Like as a creative person, you want to have creative outlets, and you don't always want to just touch one thing. Sometimes you want to touch a bunch of different things.
Right.
You might want to paint today. I might want to, you know what I mean?
Right.
Write today. I might want to whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Sing. Like, so as a rap artist, you want to go like, oh, I want to, you know, today I want to write a rhyme about a fucking sunflower.
Right.
Like, that's what I want to do.
Right.
And as a creative person, I want to be able to have a million outlets. I don't want to be narrowed into being like, yo, all I do is paint with watercolors and that's it. I don't do shit else.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No. And I feel bad for people that feel like they have to stay in that box. Cause it's really at the end of the day, if you're doing any of this shit because of what you want to get monetary gain from it, or you're worried about what your fans or other people are going to say, you're never going to create the stuff that really matters to you because you're worried about everybody else or how it's going to do. Just make the shit you want to make and let the chips fall where they may. Some people might not rock with it, but you might rock with it, and that's what's important. You
absolutely
know what I'm saying?
When I was in India almost 2 years ago when we were like working on this documentary shit, the director was sitting down with me one night while we were having dinner and shit, and just me and him were sitting off to the side eating, and he was like, yo, so like, you know, ask me what I did back here in the States and all that kind of shit. And he was just like, you know, I told him, I was like, you know, I do this other bullshit, but this is what I want to be doing. He was like, you're good at it, man. Just keep doing it. Like, just keep putting out. He was like, what do you want from this documentary? And I was like, I just want to make I want to make the best thing possible.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, that's the energy to have, man. He was like, you make the best thing possible, put it out in the world, and where it falls, it falls. He was like, if you make $1 million from it or you make no money from it, just make the best thing, and all that shit will come back to you.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Like, make the best product you can make and put it out in the world. He was like, the rest of it will all come back in its time. Like, you can't control that. Like you said, if you're doing this specifically to be like millionaire, fam, that's a one.
Might not work out for you.
Might not work. It probably ain't.
So you got to just do what you do.
Yeah.
And hope you put out the best product and let every chips gonna fall where they gonna fall
with it, man. And like I said before, man, I said it to my girl the other day, like, for, I don't know what it is in the air, but 2020 is just starting off. It feels like a promising energy in the air. I feel positive, I feel happy, I feel fulfilled, and I feel like that's not something I felt for a very long time. And I think that just comes with being older and just accepting, you know, that life is beautiful and that we still have it. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that every day you get to wake up and try. Like, it might sound a little bit corny, but that's where I'm at with it. It might be the birth of my daughter. It might be the fact that, like, you know, I'm 38, about to be 39 this year. Like, just getting older and having more energy towards you know, just positivity. Like, yeah. all that, like we were saying earlier about, like, you know, the clutching your pearls when you hear a riffraff. Like, we off, like, all the bullshit. Like, it's about, like, just good times and good stuff. And, like, that's where I'm at with it.
So, Word.
Yeah.
We're going to end on that note.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Josh, you want to do the wrap up where we.
Oh, yes. Yeah. yo, listen. First, we want to thank Reef
thank
for
you
coming
guys
through.
For having me, man.
You can catch us on all the social medias at Serious Rap Shit.
Come on.
You can catch me individually at Indie_SRS on Twitter and on Instagram.
You don't catch me in the streets.
Yeah.
Yeah, me.
Don't go to my own personal Facebook page. Don't go there. Only old people go on Facebook.
Absolutely.
We're not old. We're young millennials who do not go there. I created it when I was like 15 and just decided to go with it.
Absolutely.
John, you can catch it, John_Liberator on Twitter and on
Instagram. Yeah, yeah.
And Reef, what's your socials?
Oh, I'm at Lost Cause. That's Cause with a Z, CAUZE on Twitter and Instagram, and Reef the Lost Cause on Facebook.
Okay.
Word. Mm-hmm. All right. So, yeah, we will be back next week. Thank y'all for listening. We appreciate y'all. Reef, thank you.
Thank you
for coming through and sharing.
I'm like, yeah. This
Hell
is
yeah. And we'll be back.
Peace.
Me and my friend take his ratchet to you.
Serious Ratchet is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.